Well, good morning, brethren and sisters, young people and friends, and welcome once again around the table of our absent Lord. We come once again to remember our absent Lord, to remember the life that Jesus lived, and we come to remind ourselves and to strengthen our faith and our hope in God's kingdom to come, when Jesus will soon return to this earth. For the benefit of those listening on the phone and online, I am Brother John McColl, your chairman this morning. We have with us Brother Andrew Cridland from the Ecclesia at Cumberland, who will give us words of exhortation and encouragement. To form a basis for our Brother Andrew's exhortation and words of encouragement this morning, reading Psalm 146. I now ask our Brother Andrew Cridland to come forward and to give us words of exhortation under his theme, Praise Ye Yah.
Thanks, Brother John, and good morning, brethren and sisters and young people. Well, Claire and I were reminiscing recently about a roller coaster ride maybe about 20 years ago, maybe 15. I don't remember. Time flies, doesn't it, Joe? So we don't know exactly when it was. But we're reminiscing about a roller coaster ride. And I was on the ride with my brother-in-law, who is married to Claire's sister. And my brother-in-law is pretty tough and proud, so you'd expect this to be a walk in the park for him. And you know, there's always that section on the ride where they take a photo so that you can take away the photo and there's your little experience on the ride. And so we get to the end of the ride, we go and have a look at the photos, and there's me sitting there on this ride with this big cheesy grin on my face. And there's my brother-in-law with a look of absolute terror on his face. And it made me think that life is like a roller coaster, and we've probably all heard that. And as much as I enjoy reminiscing about my brother-in-law and that look of terror, there's actually some really pertinent points about that scenario that we're going to consider this morning as we take our exhortation from the book of some of these psalms that we're going to look at this morning. And there's two things about that idea that life is like a roller coaster and that scenario that really strike me. The first is that you can have people that are seemingly at the exact same point in their life and they're experiencing things completely different. One has a cheesy grin on their face and the other one has a look of terror. We're all individuals. And so we all experience things different in any given scenario. And some of us can react quite differently to things that are going on, whether we're at a high point or a low point in our journey. And considering the commandment of Christ that we heard this morning, I think that's a really important point when we consider what the needs are of our brethren and sisters. Not everyone is going to be feeling exactly the same way, and we're all unique. The second point is that we all experience the highs and lows that come with life. Life can quickly change. There's times where we can feel a spiritual high, and there's times where we can feel a spiritual low. Life is completely unpredictable. And I'm pretty certain, I'm very positive that there's not a single person here this morning who has a life that is so steady and so predictable and so monotone that they've never experienced a range of emotions and feelings through their life. Life has its ups and downs, bumps on the road, things that are outside of our control, like the pandemic that we've had for the last 12 months, things that are completely within our control, like the choices that we make. Either way, life is ever-changing. And events can occur that are in our control, outside of our control, that lead to these highs and lows in our life. And we know that there's going to be lows. We know there's going to be highs because we're constantly challenged in our walk towards God's kingdom. The Bible tells us that there's going to be challenges. Luke 14, verse 27, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So there's a cross that's being borne there. Psalm 34, verse 19. The start of the verse says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 to 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Acts 14, verse 22. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. But if ever there was a book in the Bible that represents the highs and the lows of our lives, it's got to be the book of Psalms. And you get this sort of a drumbeat through the book of the Psalms, representing where there's the highs and where's the lows. And it's just this constant thing where the innermost thoughts of the writers are there for us all to read. And the book, it opens with the optimism of the righteous. In Psalm 1, we're presented with this the righteous who delight in the law of God, and they're like a fruitful tree that's planted by the rivers of waters. And this person is compared to the ungodly who are just driven away like the wind, and they perish. And this comparison between the righteous and the ungodly this is the sort of motivation that led us to baptism. We forsake the path of the ungodly and we embrace our calling to be amongst the righteous. And we feel at our baptism this deeper connection with God, and we proclaim the words of Psalm chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage? Yahweh shall have them in derision. As we serve Yahweh with fear and we rejoice with trembling. And as the days pass, perhaps the shine of our baptism starts to wear off a little bit, and thus begins this roller coaster of life. And in Psalm 3, the cry goes out to God, Lord, how they have increased that trouble me. Many are they that rise up against me. The sort of feeling we might have as the ungodly try to pull us away from God and try to destroy our faith. But then the strength returns. But thou, O Yahweh, art a shield unto me. Because we remember the strength that God has where he can harden us against the world. And as we live day by day, we contest with our human nature. We sin, or we sin again. We struggle and we battle against sin, and we cry out to our Father in Psalm 6, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. Deliver my soul. As we begin to experience the consequences of sin and the knowledge that Yahweh is merciful and he's a gracious God, and in tears of grief we turn to tears of joy. As we remember in verse 9 of Psalm 6, Yahweh hath heard my supplication. Yahweh will receive my prayer. And that's the drumbeat of our life, brethren and sisters and young people. The lows of the time of trouble in Psalm 7, the highs when Yahweh comes to our defense. The highs in Psalm 8 when we go outside and we look up into the heavens and we see the moon, we see the stars and we marvel and we consider how great these things are, and yet our Father is mindful of us. And we give him praise that his Son was crowned with glory and honor. But then the lows of Psalm 9 and 10, when we're reminded of the wickedness of the world and the poor and the fatherless and the persecuted and the oppressed and the wicked seeking not after God. The highs when we rejoice that Yahweh has not forsaken them and he will be a refuge for the oppressed. The lows of Psalm 13, when we start to doubt that our Heavenly Father, we even complain that he's hidden out his face from us and he's turned his back on us. But then the highs when we realize that Yahweh was there all along and that we can trust in his mercy and his salvation because he deals bountifully with us. The lows of Psalm 18, as the sorrow of mortality and death that we all face are realized. But the highs of the six memorial psalms, Psalm 16, 56, 57, 58, 59, and 60, as we rejoice at the hope of the resurrection. Yahweh isn't going to leave us in the grave. He's going to deliver our soul from death and save us from the reproach of the grave and reward us with salvation. And if we had time, brethren and sisters and young people, we could go through many of these psalms and you'll see that drumbeat, that roller coaster ride of our lives. You'll see the low of sin and the high of sin forgiven in Psalm 25, 32, 38, 40, 51, 85, 103. You'll see the lows of those that are against us and the fears that we face, and the highs of the strength of Yahweh in Psalm 27, 28, 31, 33, 34, 35, 37, 109. You'll see the lows of mortality and sickness and death, and the highs of the salvation of Yahweh in Psalm 30 and 49, 86, 88, 102. You'll see the lows of the state of this world and the highs of the promise of the changes that are going to come with the kingdom in Psalm 41 and 72, 101. This is life, isn't it? Ups and downs, highs and lows. And the one constant that is always there is Yahweh, is always there to turn to during the tough times. He's always there to hear our prayers, always there as a source of strength. And what the Bible is teaching us is through the Psalms, it's showing that despite the difficulties we face, we can always rely on Yahweh. And given this is the case, we have the words like the words of Psalm 105. The first few verses of Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek Yahweh. Seek Yahweh and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Well, that's some pretty positive direction right there. We have an amazing Father. Sing to him. We have an amazing Father. Sing praises to him. We have an amazing Father. Tell everyone about him. We have an amazing Father. Glory in his holy name. We have an amazing Father. Rejoice. That's the positive attitude of those that would be saints today. And it begs the question, do you feel like praising Yahweh today? We're all on the roller coaster of life. We're all at different points. Some of us will be at a low point, like the poor soul of Psalm 88, who's at such a low point. My soul is full of troubles. I'm close to death. I have no strength. Your wrath lies heavy upon me. My companions shun me. My eye grows dim through sorrow. I'm helpless. That's the poor soul in Psalm 88. And maybe there are some here this morning that feel like some of these things. Perhaps the current situation around the globe is making us feel like this, and we worry about our health and our job security, our financial stability, or we worry about our loved ones and the impact that these things can have on them. Well, for those that might be feeling like they're at that low point and troubles are encompassing you from every direction, well, Yahweh has something to say to you through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 41 and verse 10, reading from the Amplified Version. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of judgment and justice. Others will be at a high point, bursting with all the enthusiasm that we find in the Psalms. When they're at the high point in there, they're singing to God, singing praises to him. They're rejoicing, giving thanks, telling people about God's wondrous works. And if you're feeling like this, then Yahweh has something to say to you from the words of Galatians 6 verse 2. And again, in the context of this morning's commandment of Christ, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. And actually, here's the point of the roller coaster ride. It's that we're all in it together. If we need help, turn to others for help. If we can help, turn to others to give the help. Because we're all on the same journey and we all want to end up at the same place, being saints in God's kingdom. And if the book of Psalms is a reflection on life's journeys through its ups and its downs, then surely the end of the Psalms is a good place to go to see where it'll all end up. Where will the journey lead? How does the book end? Does it fizzle out after a difficult journey and we practically fall over the finish line and we say, well, I'm glad that's over? That's not how the book of Psalms ends. It's not a reflection. We're not reflecting on how bad life's rollercoaster journey was and we start to cry out in dismay. Not at all. It's no surprise to find that the Psalms ends with a loud and a joyous and a repetitive praise to God. In fact, the last five Psalms are the Hallelujah Psalms. We group them together because you'll notice that they all start and finish with the words, praise ye Yah. Psalm 146 that we looked at this morning starts with praise ye Yah. The word praise is the Hebrew word halal, and it means to celebrate or commend or glory or sing. And Webster's dictionary defines it as a commendation bestowed on an individual for his personal virtues or worthy actions expressed in word or song. And of course, the word Lord is the Hebrew word Yah, and that's where we get the word hallelujah. And why should we praise God from Psalm 146? Well, verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And that's the attitude that we should have today. Because as we've seen, Yahweh is always with us on life's journey. We should praise Yah because he is always with us. You know, Psalm 146 has Genesis as its subject. And so we could call Psalm 146 the Genesis Hallelujah Psalm. We see it in verse 6. Yahweh made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. So we praise Yah for his creative work. And that's the reference back to Genesis 1, when Yahweh created the heavens and the earth and all that is therein. The end of which is in verse 10. Yahweh, the great creator, shall reign forever. Hallelujah! That's the hope we have. Psalm 147, the second of the Hallelujah Psalms. Again, opening and closing with hallelujah. This psalm has Exodus as its subject, so we could call Psalm 147 the Exodus Hallelujah Psalm. Why do we praise Yah? In verse 2, he built up Jerusalem, which is a reference back to Exodus 1, verses 7 to 20. As the nation grew larger in Egypt, you remember the story, the midwives completely ignore Pharaoh's commandment to kill the newborns, and thus the nation continues to grow. Yahweh's building up Jerusalem. And secondly, Yahweh had gathered together the outcasts of Israel. Again in verse 2. The word outcasts here can be read as driven away, just like Yahweh drove away Israel, and the Egyptians drove them away in Exodus 12. And we find in Exodus 12, verse 33, it reads there, "The Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. They were driven away, and Yahweh gathered them up." Also in Psalm 147, verse 15, "Yahweh sent his commandments upon the earth." And in verse 19, "He showeth his words unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel." That's what Yahweh did in Exodus 20 when he gave Israel the Ten Commandments. And so Yahweh, the great king of Israel, establishes his people and his covenant with them. And so we can praise Yahweh because we are adopted into that nation. Hallelujah. Psalm 148, the third of the Hallelujah Psalms, which again opens and closes with Hallelujah. This psalm has Leviticus as its subject. And so we could call Psalm 148 the Leviticus Hallelujah Psalm. Why do we praise Yahweh? Well, he created everything. He created the nation. And in this psalm, he draws his people near to him. Verses 13 and 14, "Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye Yah." So this most mighty God, whose name is excellent, whose glory is above all, says, "Israel, you are a people near unto me." You remember the story of Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10, verse 1. They came near to Yahweh with strange fire, and so he consumed them with the fire. And Yahweh told Aaron through Moses, in Leviticus 10 and verse 3, "I will be sanctified by them that draw near to me, and before all the people I will be glorified." And so all through the book of Leviticus, you find that Yahweh is giving the people ways that they can draw near to him. So here in Psalm 148, we praise Yahweh because he has drawn his people near to him. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, draws near to us. Hallelujah. Psalm 149, the fourth of the Hallelujah Psalms. Well, this psalm has numbers as its subject. So you could call Psalm 149 the numbers Hallelujah Psalm. And we really get a sense of praise in this psalm. There's singing and rejoicing in verse 3. There's dancing and there's singing praises. Why do we praise Yah? Because in verses 5 to 9, there is the judgment on the heathen. God's people have the two-edged sword in their hand to execute the judgment on the heathen, to bind kings and nobles and to execute judgment. And in Numbers 24, verses 17 to 24, we have the final words of Balaam as he speaks of a scepter that will rise out of Israel. And what is this scepter doing? Well, it's going to smite Moab, destroy Sheph, possess Edom and Seir. And in verse 19, Balaam proclaims that out of Jacob comes the one that will have the dominion and destroy all of those cities that remain. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is the one promised, and he is going to return in the future and finish that work, and he's going to execute the judgment on the nations. Hallelujah. Psalm 150, the fifth and the final of the Hallelujah Psalms, which again opens and closes with the words Hallelujah. This psalm has Deuteronomy as its subject, so we could call Psalm 150 the Deuteronomy Hallelujah Psalm. We find here that Yah is praised with all sorts of musical instruments. And so why do we praise Yah? We praise him in verse 2 for his mighty acts and his excellent greatness. Moses recognized the same thing in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 3 in verse 24, where he says to Yahweh, "O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? So Moses saw the mighty hand of Yahweh as it delivered the people from Egypt and led them into the wilderness. He saw the greatness of Yahweh in his character when it was revealed to him. And he proclaims in Deuteronomy the greatness and the mighty hand in the works of Yahweh. But we understand the mighty hand of Yahweh today. We see it. It's shaping the nations. It's involved in what's going on. And it's going to be involved soon with the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see even greater that mighty hand of God and his excellent greatness as he transforms us from mortality to immortality and he turns the nations to him for worship. Hallelujah. And so the last five hallelujah psalms, we draw together the different reasons why we can praise Yahweh for his creative work, Psalm 146, for establishing the nation of Israel into which we are adopted, Psalm 147, for drawing us nigh to him, Psalm 148, for judging the nations, Psalm 149, for his mighty acts and his excellent greatness, Psalm 150. You know what, brethren and sisters and young people, right now, today, we can praise Yahweh for all of these things. We of all people understand God's plan and purpose with this earth. And we can truly appreciate his creative work, adopting us into his people, drawing us near to him, his promise to judge the nations when his son returns, his mighty acts of excellent greatness. It's no wonder that the Psalms close with the last line in verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise Yah, praise ye Yah. And when you think about these words, it can really only be absolutely completed when our Lord Jesus Christ returns and establishes God's kingdom on this earth. When the whole earth is filled with his glory, and then truly then will everything that hath breath praise Yahweh. And with this glory to come, it's no wonder really that every breath will praise Yahweh. The Psalms present this picture of our life, the roller coaster of the ups and downs, the highs and the lows. It shows us that we have this hope to the end, and there's going to be nothing but praise. Five times it's emphasized. The hope we have is that the lows of tribulation are replaced with the constant praise to Yahweh. The roller coaster ends because there's only praise and perfection left. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more deep, deep lows. Just perfection and praise. And we won't turn to it, but in Isaiah 33, verses 17 to 18, it paints this beautiful picture of a future where our eyes are going to behold the King in his beauty. Now, the people of Israel experienced this in the days of Hezekiah. When Hezekiah was healed of his sickness that was leading to death, they beheld the King in his beauty in those days. But we are going to see it in the future when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns, is already being made immortal, healed of his mortality. He's going to come to us as immortal perfection. And the vision of Christ will be spectacular. Just as his disciples witnessed at the transfiguration, so too are we going to see his face shine like the sun, and his clothes will be as white as the light. And this time is going to be so amazing. And so this is how Isaiah 33 describes it. He describes it like this. We're going to be looking at this king in his beauty, and our heart is going to meditate on the terror. Whatever it is for each of us. We're going to recall those days of terror and alarm. And we're going to ask in gratitude and astonishment, where are those that caused the alarm? The memory of those low days in our life, the down days, are going to be a distant memory, replaced with praise. When we consider these things, it's no wonder that there will be rejoicing. But that's the hope that we have, the hope that the roller coaster journey will end and we're going to reach the top and we're going to stay there because our human nature is replaced with divine nature. Our mortality is going to be replaced with immortality. Our weakness replaced with God's strength. Brethren and sisters and young people, we have an amazing hope. Yes, it's a roller coaster ride along the way, but the hope of salvation is worthy of all praise. The Psalms have shown us that despite the ups and the downs that we experience today, it's going to conclude with that joyful singing, hallelujah for his creative work. Hallelujah for establishing the nation and adopting us into it. Hallelujah for drawing us nigh to him. Hallelujah for judging the nations. Hallelujah for his mighty acts and his excellent greatness. And the vision of this is brought to life in Revelation chapter 19. Here's the praises of those last five Psalms coming to life. A vision of the future. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19 and verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. We're in this group, brethren and sisters and young people. Verse 2, for true and righteous are his judgments. Verse 3, and again they said, hallelujah. Verse 6, and I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters and as the voice of many thundering saying, hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We're in this group, brethren and sisters and young people. In Revelation 19 and verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And so let's hold on, brethren and sisters and young people, let's hold on. The roller coaster of life is going to continue right up until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Viruses and global events will come and go until our Christ is on this earth. And of course, all the signs point to this happening very soon. In the meantime, despite the roller coaster of life, we have an opportunity to praise Yahweh and his son. We can do that today, and we most certainly will do it in the kingdom. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns and establishes that kingdom on the earth, we can praise Yahweh, and not only us, but everything that hath breath is going to praise Yahweh.